he truly lives. As we come together on this morning, I believe that those of you that have looked at the calendar for the month of February, it has a snow picture on there. And it talks about if you are unable to come to worship, if we cancel worship service, that you worship God, that you worship God, you take the time. And there are many people, because of the weather, did not make it out this morning. And this is a continuation, the sermon from Sunday evening. And what a wonderful day to do it, isn't it? Where those that try to find any excuse not to assemble, the weather, it snowed. And if I'm that type of person, guess what I did this morning? Or guess what I'm doing this morning? I'm laid back at the house chilling. Hot cup of coffee, hot cup of cocoa. I'm going to leave it at that. But a question was asked, put in the question box, or put in my hand, actually. And I answered the question last Sunday evening, but we're going to go into a little bit more detail this morning. The question, once again, if you go to church and know right from wrong and do right, do that count for going to heaven? Do that count for going to heaven? And I gave the short answer, yes. We are commanded to assemble. We are commanded to assemble. And the we, I'm going to stress the we this morning. I did not stress it as much as I should have on Sunday evening. I'm going to stress the we. First, I'm going to point out you. The you are those that are not members of the Lord's church. If you have not had your sins remissed, if you have not been immersed in the watery grave, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, to explain to you how to get into the body of Christ. It is not by prayer. It is not by the laying on of hands. It is not by pouring. It is not by sprinkling. It is by baptism, by being immersed in the watery grave. It says in Galatians 3, verse 26, For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's not talking about everybody. Paul is writing to the church of Galatia here. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now the assembling of the saints is the assembling of Christians. Amen. The assembling of God's children. So we want to talk about, what is it all about, the assembling of the saints? Now, for those of you, again, you, that are not members of the Lord's church, yes, we want you to assemble. We want you to come together, but not just come to assemble with us to hear God's word proclaimed, but to be obedient to the word. To make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before the people that are here. To emerge in the watery grave of baptism and to come out of that watery grave, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 6, to walk a newness of life. Assembling together for the cause of singing praises unto Him. To partake of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. To give as God has allowed you to prosper. To pray, to hear the word proclaimed.
on not just Sunday morning,
but also on Sunday evening when we meet, on Wednesday evening when we meet, or when we have gospel meetings, when we assemble, when the saints assemble together, your presence is required. Your presence is welcomed. Why? So we may provoke you to continue to assemble together, provoke you unto love and to good works. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the assembling of the saints. Many people feel that the assembling of the saints is important. Are you one of those that feel that it's important? That you're ready to assemble? I preached this lesson back in 2014. 2 years ago. Some of you may remember and some of you may not. The thing about preaching lessons on assembling together, the thing about preaching lessons on giving, and you know, we always point to the board over there, look at what the collection was or look at what the attendance was. The attendance on last Sunday was 83 and on Wednesday night was 58. Then we move down, we look at attendance for the Wednesday before, I guess that, Sunday morning 83, Sunday evening 58, and then on Wednesday 50. And that number is going to be lower today. Well, it may not be, I don't know. Depends on who's counting, I guess. They may put 84 up there just to make me look bad. But that's okay. And it'd be great. I'd say, well, it wasn't snowing last week, but we had 84 people instead of 83. We have a number of people that's out this morning. We have one family that's out, has been out for several weeks. Eight people. That's what we count when we count that family. Eight people. Anybody know what family that is? Don't holler it out. But have you called to encourage them? To assemble together? There are others that we haven't seen in quite some time. Have you called to check on them? To see how they're doing? See, those of us that feel that the assembly of the saints is important, what are we doing in order to get the other people to feel the same way? Amen. At the same time, many feel that it is not entirely necessary. I don't have to assemble together with you on Sunday morning. I don't have to assemble together with you on Sunday evening or assemble together with you on Wednesday night. When you have this attitude right here, there's a problem. And the problem is not with man, but the problem is with God. Because God is the one that gave the word to the Spirit in order to give to men to write down, in order for us to study, to know what we're supposed to do. We're going to look at that scripture again in a moment. There are also some who think it is important, but not for the reasons that the Bible gives. What do they think? If it's not important to come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, what's important about coming? I wonder what she's going to have on today. I wonder what he's going to have on today. Or, I wonder if I go over there, can I get something from them? Many people will come to worship church for many different reasons. And many of those reasons are the wrong reasons. Amen. In this lesson, we will look at what the Bible says about the assembly and consider what God says. It is important. It is important. Important that we assemble together according to the word of God, not to what man says. Assembling and the plan of salvation. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The scripture reading came from this morning. And we talk a whole lot, you know, about the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Tells us to assemble, 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 assemble. But when you assemble, why are you assembling? That's what we fail to tell people sometimes. Why are we assembling? Why are we supposed to assemble? Well, verse 22. I started with verse 23 earlier. Let's go back to verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What the Bible teaches us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of the faith. Lord, I want to be true to you. I want to be true to your word, and I'm going to assemble together. I'm going to come closer to you by assembling together with the saints. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what the word says, and I'm not going to go to the left nor to the right, but I'm going to stay straight down the middle, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to as I draw closer to you, Lord, because once again, I want to be close to your people. And being close to the people of God, you're close to God. And the closer you get to God, the closer you are to getting into heaven.
Amen.
That's what assembling is all about. And does it count? The question is asked, the last part of that. Do that count for going to heaven? If you follow the commands that God has given, then you'll be okay. But you have to understand that being outside the body, without being a Christian, no matter how much you assemble, is not going to do you any good.
Amen.
Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. To provoke unto love and good works. Let us consider one another. So as you're considering someone else, someone should be considering you. To stress the importance of what you must do in order to be pleasing to God. See, yes, we sing praises to Him here, but what are you doing out there? What are you doing out there? The love and good works that you should be doing, not just to other Christians, but the Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as you have opportunity, you do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Brother Mark, I love him dearly. Brother Mark, he mentions the other day, he said, man, he said, Brother Spencer, Brother Melvin, he just put all this stuff on me. You know what I'm doing for Brother Mark as he does for me? I'm trying to provoke him unto love and good works.
All right.
He does the same thing to me. And I appreciate him for that. And I hope he appreciates me for doing what I do for him in order to get him to understand the importance of serving God. And it's not to bring any glory upon himself, but all of this is to bring glory unto God, to let people know how important it is to focus on who God is.
Amen.
Remember, the scriptures teach us in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, people sometimes, they say, you know, you're doing too much. What exactly is too much for the Lord? What is too much? We cannot do enough because God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. Now, many people say that's too much. But God didn't think it was too much. He sent His only begotten Son. But yet, we find it hard to assemble together with the saints when the doors open. We find it hard. I have something else to do. I'm just too busy. I don't have time for that. I need to prepare for tomorrow. I got to get up early in the morning to go to work. All of the New Testament emphasizes the necessity of Christians assembling together. That's what it's all about. Looking at what God's word says and looking at what men did then and what we should be doing now. Our example on why we assemble together. Why we assemble together. Again, it's sad that you know, we can go to one passage of scripture And we can look at all the reasons why we should assemble together, but yet people do not want to follow them. If your boss came to you and said, you know, you need to do A, B, and C in order to get a $10 raise. You sure there's not a D? But I want 20. You know, you're going to go the extra mile to get that $10 raise, but what about this glorious crown that awaits us in heaven? What are you going to do to get that?
Amen.
What are you going to do to get that? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Assembling together shows your faithfulness. I told you before when I preached this sermon about my mom getting this plaque from the Baptist church about being a faithful member. And I laughed when they sent that to her. I said, Mama, what do they call faithful? You don't attend that much. And she just started laughing herself because she realized she didn't. Or when she did go, she would go late. We laughed about it. They sent me a letter telling me, you know, your mom is going to be, you know, honored for being a faithful member. And the reason they sent me the letter is because this is what the Baptists do. They put your name on a roll and you are a member of that Baptist church until I guess you die. I don't understand. They still consider me a member of the Baptist church, and I guess I should be a faithful member then, right? We have to understand what faithfulness means. It means that you do what God expects out of you, what He has commanded you to do.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1, 2, 3. And yes, if she was here, I would have said the same thing. She would have laughed again. She probably would have turned red, but she still would have laughed. Because it's true. Men do not understand what it means to be faithful. Or if they do understand and they don't do it, they just are in disobedience, as the scriptures teach us. Ephesians 4, 1, 2, and 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is a work that we must do. You have been called to do this work. And as you have been called to do this work in order to be pleasing unto God, how does God view you right now? How does God look at you and say, yes, he's a faithful attendant in the assembly, but yet he's not doing anything over here? See, there's a problem. There's a problem. Because many people think, once again, just because I've come to morning worship, I've done all I'm supposed to do. And I'm not mad at you. Trust me, I'm not mad at you at all. Because for me to get mad at you for not coming back to evening worship, would say that I don't love you. I do love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned not just about you, but I'm concerned about your soul. And I'm concerned not only about your soul, but I'm concerned about the souls of those that are watching what you're doing when they come by here and they say, you know, those people, they are there to attend at the West End congregation at 4401 West Broadway. The sign says that they have Bible study at 10 o'clock. They have worship service at 11. They have evening service at 5. And then they have Wednesday Bible study at 7. I'm concerned about those people that are looking at your life and saying, why are they at home? Or why are they at the park? Or why are they over here? Or why are they over there? Why are they not assembling together with the saints that they call themselves a part of, the local congregation? Why are they not there? There's a lady when we used to live in Maryland that used to look out the window and see what was going over at our house. See who was coming in and who was going out. What you was wearing when you left and what you was doing when you came back and who were you with. Good thing that it wasn't no dirt going on, because she would have told on each one of us. Anita, I saw your husband and he didn't go to work until 10 o'clock. And she said, that's what he do. They got it like that. Well, when he left this morning, he had on this suit right here. Then yesterday, he had on, it doesn't matter. That's what he wears to work. Not wasn't this suit right here. It was a green jumpsuit or a BDU's or something of that nature. But she was watching. I saw y'all when y'all was going to worship service, and oh, y'all were looking good. Well, won't you come go with us? People watch what you're doing. We have to understand what God wants us to do. And when God has told us to do something, as it says there in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we must do these things. We must understand how we're supposed to behave toward one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. Romans 12, verse 9 through 13. Paul writes to the church of Rome here. He tells them again how they're supposed to conduct themselves. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. You learn these things by assembling together how you're supposed to conduct yourselves. See, there are many of us that will not pick up the Bible when we go home. We will not study it for ourselves. We need to be around others in order to study the Word of God, to know how we're supposed to behave ourselves. Why we don't do that, I don't know. I have no idea. Oh, yes, I do. It's a lack of concern for God's Word. It's a lack of concern for your soul. It's saying that, God, you have promised heaven to me. I have been obedient to the gospel, and I expect to get there. Everyone that expects to get to heaven is not going to get there. The scriptures are so clear on that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone, let's just do verse 21. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What did verse 25 say in Hebrews 25, chapter 10, verse 25? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Did you see where it said, if you feel like going, go? If you don't feel like going, then you don't have to go? Did it say that? No, it said not. We know what that word means, right? Think not. Many of us probably don't then, right? If we don't know, we don't know. But it means do not. It means don't. In other words, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. It means we need to assemble. We need to assemble. And as Paul writes, once again, we find that he tells us why and what must we do when we assemble together. We are kind one to another. We are kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. A question was asked on the radio the other day in reference to a man that does not love his brother. The Bible says that's just like murder. If you don't love your brother, it's just like murder. You're not going to get to heaven hating your brother. I don't assemble with them because I don't like them. Okay, that's fine. Go assemble with a group that you do like. You know what's going to happen? You're going to find that you don't like them either. The problem is not with the group that you're assembling with. The problem lies within you. Because you don't like God's word. That's what it's all about. And I told some people that told me that they weren't going to be here today. I said, no problem. I said, I'm going to get copies. Brother Glenn, you're going to have to make a lot of copies. Thank you. I'm going to mail you a copy of this CD so you'll have it. And they may listen to it and they may not listen to it. But I want you to understand again the importance of assembling. We need to assemble together.
Amen.
We need to assemble together. If salvation is important, if joy near to God is important, if love is important, then assembling of the saints is equally important. You believe that? If you don't, you need to start believing it. You need to convince yourself that assembling together with the saints is important. Just like your job tells you. You done missed 3 days of work, no call. If you don't show up tomorrow, you're going to lose your job. And you need that job because you need your bills to be paid. You know what you're going to do the next morning? You're subject to be early. You're subject to get there and say, can I work a little overtime to make up those 3 days I lost? I got that call one day. My boss man called me. I guess he liked me. I don't know. I was sleeping good. He called me and said, hey, Melvin, you must not want your job. You haven't called in 3 days. What's going on? I said, nothing, man. I said, I'm just tired. And I just, you know, really didn't feel like coming. And this is how much they liked me. They said, well, come on to work tomorrow. Everything will be okay. You think I got up and went early? No. But I did go. Shortly after that, I quit. That job just didn't suit me. And I believe that's what many Christians feel, that Christianity just don't suit them. So they do what they want to do. They don't put any importance on assembly. But they always want to say, I want what he has, or I want what she has. I want to get to heaven. But again, verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall get into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is essential for us to fulfill God's plan for his church. And that's why we're assembled together. To fulfill the plan that God has laid out for his church, for his people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 16. As Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, he says these words unto them, starting with verse 12 of chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in unto him and all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, if someone asks you, how important is your attendance at the West End congregation, how important is it? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? I would like for you to tell them this, that it's very important. It's very important because I'm a member of that congregation and I'm needed. Tell them that. See, I'm needed. I'm needed because someone is waiting on me to tell them, you know, I'm glad that I've seen you today. I'm glad that I was able to speak to you today because tomorrow you may not be here. You don't have to go that extent. But tell them how important it is for you to assemble together with the saints because you love your brothers. Love the brethren. Love them. Just like it is important for you to go to work because your co-workers depend upon you. If you're not there, you make their job harder. If you're not here, you make someone else's job harder. You know, maybe you're supposed to be on the roster working and, you know, someone else has come today and they really don't have their mind set on working, but yet you've made it hard for them. Now you put them on the spot. They got to get their minds clear, whatever else they were thinking about, and they're supposed to be leading in the center of the table. You're not here. Now they have to do it. And then they got to refocus. Or maybe, you know, I overslept and you walked through the door and one of the elders said, hey, you got a priest today. Brother Melvin is not here. And you're like, man, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Yeah, two times. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to know why it is important to assemble together with the saints. It's essential. Togetherness of the New Testament church. This is our example. This is what we saw them doing. And this is what we need to do today. The Bible says, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in Acts chapter 2, verses 42. They continue steadfastly. Nothing could move them. They were excited. You know, they are just excited as we are when we get a new job. We're excited. Oh, man, I'm at work today and there's no work. Yeah, that ever happened to you? You went to work and there wasn't no work. I used to go to work and the man used to say, who want to go home? That's because I still lived at home. I didn't have any responsibilities then. But when we come to worship God, when we assemble together with the saints, we continue not in what we want to do, but we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's what we do. We need to keep doing those things. Acts 2:44, not all who believed were together and had, now all who believed had all things together, and they were together and all things in common. I believe that if when we assemble here together as members of the Lord's church, we need to have all things in common. If there is something we're doing that you do not agree with, bring it to the elders' attention. And if you can show in Scripture why we should not be doing those things, the elders are going to come to an agreement because they want to lead God's people the way the Scripture said. They're going to say, we're not going to do that anymore. Because we want to have all things common. Now, if it's a problem that you have with God's Word, you are the one that needs to change. Keep that in mind as well. Acts 2:46. So continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. That apart said they did eat their meat with singleness and gladness of heart. Now, we don't meet together every day here in the place where we assemble together, but they did then. But I say this, that we should make an honest effort to talk to another Christian besides those that are in our house on a daily basis. You know what that's going to cause somebody to do? Pick up the phone and call somebody else. Talk to them. Say some encouraging words to them. Send them a text message just to let them know that you love them. Again, you remember that word love? It's an action word. Oh, you get that? And that takes some action for you to pick up that phone and send that text. I love you. That shows them that you care about them or that you're thinking about them. And as you think about them, take a moment to pray for them. Take a moment to pray for them. See, we all need it. We all need it. I asked some to call Sister Sheila, who hasn't been here in 2 Sundays. Call her to encourage her. That's what we said we would do. At least that's what I asked you to do. Call and encourage her. Blow her phone up. If she have unlimited minutes, that's great. If she only have 250 minutes, they should be gone. They should be gone. She need to get an unlimited plan. Many times, many of you have called her and she did not return your call. Maybe she don't have unlimited call. But still, you have done your part. Now it's up to her to do hers. That's what we need to do. We need to encourage one another. Togetherness of the New Testament church. Because we want her to assemble together with us. Amen. With the people of God. We want her to assemble together. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's what we do, right? We assemble together in order to hear about Jesus the Christ. We come together to hear about what we must do because of what he did. Jesus had compassion on his fellow man, do we? Jesus went to talk to the sinners, do we? See, we have to remember once again, it doesn't stop here. We're talking about assembling together with the saints because we are saints. And if you have not become a saint, we want to encourage you to become one in order for your assembling to mean something. To mean something. See, this lesson is very important. Because without assembling, we will not be the people that God wants us to be. There would not be a need for an organization of the church to have elders, to have deacons, to have members. It would not do any good without assembling together. If there was only two men that assembled here together and they said, both of them said, well, I want to be an elder, who is going to say that we want them to be elders? I want you to be an elder and I want you to be an elder. That's all you got is two men assembling together. No, we need more people than that. Yeah, it's supposed to be a plurality of elders, but with just two elders without a flock, what good does it do? We have to think about those types of things. Let us be obedient to God. As saints, as children of God, let us assemble together the way we're supposed to. If you have not been assembling on Sunday evening, we want to encourage you to come back. We want you to come back. Why do we want you to come back? We want you to come back because we're coming back. We want you to come back because there is someone that's not here this morning that will be here, and they need your provoking. They need your provoking because maybe they're not working on Sunday morning. They just, that's the time they take off is Sunday morning. You take off Sunday evening. Y'all are missing each other. We want y'all to be able to see one another. And not just on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, but we want you to come back on Wednesday evening as well for Bible study. We want you to be able to open up the scriptures and go through the scriptures along with us so that we may all learn together. That's what the importance of assembling is all about. That we may provoke one another unto love and good works. And we're not finished with the sermon, but we're going to stop right there. Because I believe that you understand the importance of assembling together. And I believe that you understand that if you're not a member of the Lord's church, it's not going to do you any good to assemble without being obedient. So we want to give you that opportunity. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to be obedient because we enjoy your presence, but we want to not only enjoy your presence here, but we want to be able to enjoy your presence in the end in heaven. So we want you to come and we want you to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that died for the sins of the world. We want you to be immersed in the watery grave, come in contact with the blood. And we want you to be faithful in attendance. We want you to be faithful and be an example to others. We want you to be faithful to be an example on your job, in your house, in your community. We want you to be faithful, to be that example that God wants you to be. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
It is so important that we realize the importance of assembling. If you're here and you have not done what God wants you to do, if you have not been a faithful member, we want you to change. We want you to confess. We want you to repent. We want you to pray that God may forgive you of your sins and that you may be faithful until the very end. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come if you stand and sing.
Amen.